I got my garden planted a couple of weeks ago. Put in some rows of peas, sugar snap, snow and garden, beets, multicolored carrots, Swiss chard, and bok choy. And a single solitary bean that my daughter had brought home from school to plant. And I usually plant beans later on in the year to replace the peas once they die out. So this was probably the earliest I've ever planted a bean. And as I was putting the bean to bed in the dirt, I started to think of idioms having to do with beans and thought it'd make for a good episode. So welcome to Idiom America, where we'll celebrate spring and the beginning of April by looking at some of those bean idioms. And the first one that came to mind was to spill the beans, as that one gets a lot of use. And it means, of course, to reveal a secret, let the cat out of the bag. He spilled the beans about the surprise party. And it's one of those whose origin I've often wondered about, but never taken the time to look into. And now when I do, I find some sources that attribute its origin to a voting system used in ancient Greece, where votes were cast by placing one or two different colored beans into a vase, and usually a white bean meant yes, and a black or brown one meant no. And this was done secretly so that no one would know which way the others had voted. But it apparently would happen sometimes that somebody would prematurely reveal the vote totals by spilling the beans, by knocking over the vase before the vote was complete, whether they did it intentionally or by accident. But a flaw with this origin story is that the phrase spill the beans didn't appear until the early 20th century, when it seems to have arisen in the horse racing context. And there seems to be a whole lot of idioms that come from horses and horse racing. Already in this podcast, we've looked at ones like long in the tooth, dead ringer, get hitched, wild goose chase, cut corners, hat trick, drop of a hat, kick up one's heels, cool one's heels. And so I should probably do an episode here soon dedicated just to horse idioms. But this is bean idiom time, so... Back to spill the beans, which originally seemed to describe in that horse racing context an upset or a race in which the favored horse did not win. From the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in February 1899, we get spill the beans used in a story about a Texan horse owner named McCafferty, who had a popular jockey called Troxler that was riding one of his horses, but Troxler didn't win, and the article reads, "Troxler certainly did spill the beans for the little Texan, whether intentionally or not." And so spill the beans in this context meant a mistake on the part of someone, it seems. But looking at other newspaper articles around that time, up to 1907 or so, where the term was mentioned, and again, it was only in horse racing that it was being used at that time, the phrase seems to have meant a horse that was a spoiler in a race, one that won when they shouldn't have, and spoiled the chances of the favorite that had been bet on. One example comes from the Courier-Journal of Louisville, Kentucky in 1906. "Colloquy, George Hulls, smart filly, was the one to spill the beans, winning in a common center after setting all her own pace." And then starting around 1907, the phrase began to be used in other circles outside of horse racing, although it was still loosely connected to horse racing. In 1908, it started to work its way into politics, though it continued to have the same meaning that was used with horse racing. And the earliest example there seems to be from 1908 about a former blacksmith named Tawny, who was becoming a power in Congress. Tawny, when he came to Congress, wasn't welcomed within the big tent. He had to wait around on the outside. Then the blacksmith got busy. He just walked off the reservation, taking enough insurgent Republicans with him to spill the beans for the Big Five. And then by about 1911, it started to be used more in the way we know it today. From an article in Iowa around that time, we get a headline about a Gary, Indiana municipal councilman, which was known as an alderman in that area, that was charged with bribery, and the headline was titled, "Gary Alderman Spills the Beans and Confesses." And from there, spill the beans continued to have its meaning as being a spoiler in an event, sport event, while also being used with the meaning of divulging secret information. And this latter meaning began to show up more and more in newspapers across the country, not just in the Midwest. Kentucky, Ohio seemed to be where this one originated. And by the 1950s, the phrase's use in horse racing and other sports had disappeared, and we were left with the meaning we have today. And I thought that spill the beans might have something to do with the idiom bean counter, which refers to an accountant, because accountants do often hold a lot of secrets. They know where the dead bodies are buried for their clients, financially speaking. But I can't find any connection there. But this bean counter one has some interesting origin possibilities of its own. And you usually hear this one used in a disparaging way to refer to a person who's involved in corporate or government financial decisions, who's reluctant to spend money, a pedantic penny pincher who can't see the big picture, somebody focused only on the bottom line, a myopic number cruncher, the kind of accountant who, when he's asked to take an inventory of all the company's assets, goes through the cupboards and counts out each bean individually. And I thought that this one probably came from the act of counting the beads on an abacus, but it turns out that it likely came from the German word Erbsenzahler, where Erbsen means beans and Zahler means counter, which was used first back in German print in 1668 with the same pedantic accounting meaning that we now use it for. And then it started to pop up in Australia in the 1920s, spread from there to other places in the English-speaking world in the 1930s and 40s, and then really hit its stride in terms of popularity in the 1980s. In no small part, I'm sure, to the pretty apt image of an accountant so dedicated to detail that he or she counts everything down to the last bean, but who gets so caught up in nitpicking, so lost in the numbers, that they start to fail to see the big picture. And I also thought of those big jars of jelly beans I'd sometimes see as a kid in some office, a bank, or a car dealership or something, where you'd fill out a card with your information and your guess to as to how many jelly beans were in the jar. And if you won, you'd win some kind of prize, maybe just the jar of jelly beans themselves or maybe something even bigger. But I'd always wondered who actually would count out the jelly beans to determine the winner, and thought it must have been a pretty tedious job. And speaking of memories from childhood, I remember hearing the expression hill of beans a lot where I grew up for some reason, as in that's not worth a hill of beans, or that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And a famous use of this one was at the end of the film Casablanca in 1942, when Humphrey Bogart says to Ingrid Bergman, "Ilsa, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world." And this, of course, means something of little or no value, importance or worth, a negligible amount. And the underlying idea, I suppose, is that beans are so common that even a hill of them isn't worth very much, if anything at all. As a side note here, the Yiddish word for beans is bupkis, which is been adopted into American English to mean absolutely nothing. So when someone gets a losing ticket at the racetrack or a worthless hand of cards, you might hear an exasperated, "I got bupkis," or I got beans. But the mundane stalwart bean has long been used to mean something worthless. An older saying, "not worth a bean," appeared as far back as 1297, when historian Robert of Gloucester wrote it in his English Chronicles. Or think of the fairy tale of Jack and the Beanstalk, and how the point about how foolish Jack was for trading away the family cow was driven home by the fact that all they got in return was a handful of worthless beans. There are some idioms that give the reliable bean its due, though, like full of beans or cool beans. When somebody's full of beans, they're full of vigor or merriness, optimistic, enthusiastic, cheerful, lively, full of energy and high spirits. That's one meaning anyway, which you might think is a reference to coffee and the energy you get from coffee beans. But actually, according to the internet anyway, the phrase originated in Europe in the 14th century when horses were fed with beans that had been grown solely for fodder. And after a good bean feeding, the horses became energetic and lively, and hence the phrase. But another meaning for this one is to just be full of it, be incorrect, uninformed, prone to exaggerating. And then we have cool beans, meaning great, awesome, excellent, or just cool, man. And that's one of those kind of outdated slang terms that still has some popularity due to nostalgia or attempts to be ironically retro, kind of like cool cat or bee's knees. The origin of this one isn't clear, although it seems to have started among college students sometime in the late 1960s and early 1970s. And cool obviously means cool, but why the beans? No one really knows. Could have been linked to the expression full of beans, but I think it probably arose just from that slang making mechanism of just illogically putting together two words that don't really make much sense together, like the gnat's elbow, and from the fact that beans is just kind of a fun word to say. If you follow a lot of politics like I do, you're bound to hear somebody remark that politics ain't beanbag, meaning that politics can be rough. There's bound to be some negative ads, some criticism, some harsh treatment in the media. So life in politics is rough. Get over it. And this one dates back to 1895 when the writer Finley Peter Dunne used it with his fictional character Mr. Dooley, who was an Irishman who was pontificating on the issues of the day in a Chicago pub and said, "Sure, politics ain't beanbag. Tis a man's game, and women, children, cripples, and prohibitionists would do well to keep out of it." I remember back in the 2012 Republican primary, and it seemed like Mitt Romney was using this one every other day. Sample quote from January 6, 2012. "I'm ready for what anyone wants to bring my way. Got to have broad shoulders in this business. And as was said long, long ago, politics ain't beanbags." 2 days later, "Anything wrong, I'm opposed to. But you know, this ain't the beanbag." 4 days later, "Politics ain't beanbags, and I know it's going to get tough." So what's the beanbag here? Well, it seems to be a kind of sport that girls played in the beginning of the 1900s. Precise rules and how the game went isn't quite clear, but there are all kinds of quotes from around that time that compared a poorly played game of football or baseball to beanbag. The New York Times in 1914, for example, reported that the Giants and Phillies did not care what they did with the ball at the polo grounds yesterday. They tossed it around like a lot of girls playing beanbag. At any rate, the beanbag game appeared to kind of die out in the 1920s, but the beanbag, of course, has had a revival as the star of the popular game cornhole. And in case you're wondering about where the name for cornhole comes from, the most popular explanation I could find is that people used to use actual dried corn kernels in the bags in older versions of the games. Finally, just like beans are a reliable and general purpose staple of the physical diet, they can be one of the verbal diet too. As you can use them however you like, really, in an idiomatic sense, and they're never too out of place. Just like spill the beans really doesn't have much of a connection with beans. Beans is just kind of a more of a word to throw on there at the end of spill. Instead of spill your guts or spill some secrets, spill some beans. Beans, just you can use it however you like, really. I've heard and used beans as a nickname before. You can call someone an old bean, meaning a friendly acquaintance. It can be bean time, meaning dinner time. And you can go to a bean wagon, an inexpensive place to eat. Someone cannot have a bean, meaning that they're broke, no money. Or you can call someone a string bean or a bean pole, meaning a skinny person. You can know your beans, meaning you know what you're talking about, or you can not know beans, the opposite. You can be a bean head, a dumb, cloddish person. You can be keen as a bean about something. You can bean somebody in the head with a bean ball. You can be as boring as beans. Or you can really just make up your own idiom here. Throw beans into pretty much any expression, and it sounds okay. Tough beans. Them's the beans. Tough as beans. Dumb as beans. Hot as beans. Old as beans. Dry as beans out here. Out of beans. Down to one's last bean. No two beans about it. It's no pot of beans, but it'll do. And that's about how I feel about this episode on beans, honestly. They can't all be as good as a barrel full of beans. So let's leave it there. Thanks for listening.